We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchet.
Tell them
ratchets
to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo. Angela Yee's out. Charlamagne was popping.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday.
Hey, I got to salute our board op Drum. Drum is the good guy that sits next to DJ Envy with the beard.
With the beard, yeah.
He got a fresh haircut today. You know, the other day he had a nice little hot date, you know what I mean? A little business meeting.
A little business meeting.
I'm not going to say with who, you know, but I just know that he's a big Tommy Hilfiger fan, Drum is. And he had a meeting with a higher up over there at Hilfiger. Now he's in here with a whole bunch of exclusive Hilfiger stuff on.
Like velvet.
Hilfiger velour velvet.
Corduroy.
Track jackets.
Yo.
You know, what else? Jeans too you got on, Drum?
Don't worry about it.
You got Hilfiger underwear on? Do you? He does. He got Hilfiger underwear on.
Well, I know back in the day we used to say, did you suck a load for some truck fit?
Maybe for some Hilfiger. All right. Give me a little pound. All right. You did what you had to do.
Drum. I respect it. Exclusive Hilfiger for the winner, baby.
I ain't mad at you, brother.
Do your thing, G.
All right.
Do your thing, my guy.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. The weekend is here.
That's right. And salute to everybody in the iHeart building who's dapping me up saying happy holidays. If I don't see you, I'm like, well, this your last day? And they're like, yes. I'm like, why is today not our last day?
Really?
Yes.
Who said that to you?
Salute to Jim Kerr. OG Jim Kerr.
OG Jim Kerr is not coming in? If OG Jim Kerr is not coming in, this day is last day.
My vacation days start after next Wednesday. Damn it.
If he was a real G, you push it up.
I don't have no more vacation.
Me neither, because I was...
You can't push nothing up. I don't have
it, man. All right. Well, today...
Tapped out for the year.
Charlamagne flew out to the Bahamas and sat down with Meek Mill a couple days ago.
Yeah, I sat down with Meek Mill on Wednesday. You know, Meek Mill just got nominated for a Grammy for championships. You know, he just wanted to talk about the album, where his mind was at when he was recording that album. Also, he's working on new music right now.
Okay.
And just a bunch of other things. You know, Reform... You know, Meek Mill is a person who found his purpose. And it's very interesting when you see people who find their purpose, because when people find their purpose, it seems like things just effortlessly fall into their lap.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see happening for Meek Mill right now. He's worked to get to this point. He's found his purpose as a human, and it's just a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. You remember when he was up here and he first came home, and he said he didn't want to be the face of prison reform at one time. But that's totally changed.
Well, sometimes you don't have a choice because things are bigger than you.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And your good plan may not be God's plan for you.
Right.
So you might have some other plans, but God might say, nope,
this is what I need you to do
right now. And if you fight it, if you resist against it, you know, sometimes that can harm you.
Take away your blessings.
He's not fighting it. He's not resisting it. He's out here doing the work.
He's chasing it and doing the work. Yeah. Shout to Meek.
So we talked about a lot of things in Nassau on this past Wednesday.
Okay. All right. So we'll get that on in a little bit. That's right. And we got front page news. We'll tell you about Colin Kaepernick. Will they give him a shot? Did he pick up a team? Well, we'll talk about that. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now on Thursday Night Football, the Ravens squashed the Jets last night. Congratulations to the Ravens out there.
Did Lamar Jackson play?
Yeah, he played last night. He did his damn thing, too.
I think they've clinched the playoff berth already, right?
I'm not sure.
If they've clinched the playoff berth, I think I would probably sit Lamar Jackson for the rest of the season.
Yeah, just hold him out to the playoffs, right?
Maybe play one more game, but after that, I'll sit him for the rest of the season.
Okay. Now, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he did that, I wouldn't say a trial, but he did that workout. We had a bunch of teams there. It kind of fell apart, but now it looks like the NFL saying we moved on.
Listen, this was, as I've said to you before, about creating an opportunity, which Colin's representatives came out in early October, and we created that opportunity. It was a unique opportunity, a credible opportunity, and he chose not to take it. I understand that, and, you know, we've moved on here.
Well, here's the thing. It's easy to say, hey, the NFL wasn't serious about giving Cap a shot, but guess what? We will never know because he didn't show up to the workout. And that's fine. He made a choice, and we all got to live with our choices. Not to mention, once again, I don't care about Colin being in the NFL because Colin Kaepernick is bigger than football. So if Colin Kaepernick wants me to stand with him on the front lines of any type of activism or, you know, protesting against the injustice that he initially stood for or kneeled for, which is police brutality, I'm all in on that. But as far as Cap getting back in the league, I'm not even interested.
So what happens now for Cap? So now Cap just stops because he's tried out, and he's worked out, he's went through the
I mean, if you want to play football, there's other options to play football. You can go to the CFL, you can go play arena football, but I just never understood you know, wanting to work for an organization that you say is oppressing you.
Right.
I just never understood that.
Okay. Well, they're saying a storm is going to hit the East Coast this weekend. They're saying travel will be difficult. There's going to be a lot of ice, a lot of trees, and power lines should be hitting down. So it's going to be a lot of power outages. So that should hit today until Sunday, all through the East Coast. So we'll see how that ends up. And last...
What kind of storm? You can't just say
that. It says a coastal storm.
A snowstorm, rainstorm,
it says a coastal storm. It says a winter weather advisory. There's a coastal storm with a lot of ice. Be careful
there.
Out there.
Go. So it's winter weather. So ice, snow, hail. You just...
All that.
Okay. You
All
storm.
That.
What kind of storm? How you get an umbrella? What do I do?
I don't...
Do I put on my old Tims? Like, what happens?
You stay home. You just stay home.
Jesus.
And lastly, all my parents out there, start saving now. Xbox Series X, they're having... they have a new console that's going to be released next year, just in time for the 2020 holiday season. So the remote controller alone is going to be $180 for one. They haven't announced the price of the Xbox Series X, but they're just telling you that the controller is going to be $180. So you're going to need two of those. And they're also saying that PlayStation 5 will be released next year as well. So start saving now. It's going to be very costly and expensive for your kids for next year.
I'm holding out for all the virtual reality video games. They got those already, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I want the joints that be like at, when you do the Disney rides, like when you do the Avatar ride.
Yeah.
I want something like that.
I think they have some of those already.
For real?
You got to put the thing on your... I think Samsung does it, where you put the thing over your face and you can move and it moves with the ride.
That's what I want.
All right, well, it's out. You can buy it.
I'm old. I don't know nothing about that.
All right, well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, or maybe you feel blessed. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Ryan from Manhattan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi, Manhattan. Ryan from Manhattan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Breakfast Club?
What's up, broski?
Actually, I'm going to share my excitement about the weekend I have coming up. My company, they're doing a Jay-Z Sip and Paint event tomorrow at the Armory in Woodbridge.
Okay. A Jay-Z and what?
A Jay-Z Sip and Paint event at the Armory in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay.
And you know, if anyone's interested, they can get information from that from our Instagram at Fly Arts and Brushes. Then on Sunday, we got our tickets to go to the real estate seminar at the Javits Center. So my wife and I are going to attend that. So I'm very excited about this weekend coming up.
Well, I can't wait to meet you at the seminar. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of information. So make sure you bring a pen and paper and get there early. I'm sure parking is going to be difficult. It's going to be a lot of people, but we're going to have a great time. There's going to be a lot of connects for you, and we're going to be talking about real estate and creating generational wealth and making sure that nobody can push us out of our communities.
So what the hell?
I'm looking forward to anywhere I can get like VIP seating, Envy?
Nah, B. It's tight right now. I wish I could.
I'm confused. I thought he said he was going to a sip and paint. Then he started talking about going to your real estate.
Well, he's going to sip and paint tonight, and then he's going to the seminar on Sunday.
Oh, got you.
Well, you have a great weekend. I'll see you on Sunday, man.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, brother.
Sounds like you're having a very girlless weekend.
And he said he's bringing his wife.
Oh.
He's bringing his wife.
You shut up, Drom. Out here kissing in the mouth of Hilfiger.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Sixto.
What up, though?
Yo, what up, what up? Yo, I'm from San Diego, right?
Yep.
So, cool. Hey, you know, over here, there's a lot of Mexicans and Latinos, right?
See?
I heard.
So, a few months back, right? Remember when Tekashi 6ix9ine was going through all that?
Word.
What did Charlamagne the God said?
What'd he say?
What did I say?
I don't know. You let me know. You're the one who said it.
Oh, you talking about when I said that if he beats his case, I would give him fellatio?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what that's based off. That's based off the fact that he used to always run around telling people to SMD. So I was being sarcastic when I said that. But you know.
Well,
do you want to fill in for Charlamagne?
All of a sudden
what?
I think he's going to come home next week, but do you want to fill in for Charlamagne?
Nah, what's going on, man?
And by the way, it didn't matter, even though I was being hypothetical. He didn't beat the case. He ratted.
What? He beat the case. What are you talking
about? That's not beating a case. No, that's not cooperating with federal authorities is not beating a case, sir. That's called ratting. He did not, and that's fine. He can snitch, but that's not beating a case.
All right, man. If you say so, but hey, don't forget your promise, man. You're a changed man.
Man, shut up. Suck my
What's wrong with you, man? Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Royce calling from Columbus, Ohio, man.
What's up, bro? Get off your chest.
First off, I want to say good morning to y'all. DJ Envy, Charlamagne, Angela Yee.
What up, King?
What's going on? A lady called in the other day, and she said she did music. She was talking to Angela, and she fumbled it, man. It was like 2 days ago. So I just wanted to say, man, that's a big marketing move, y'all, a big platform. That's kind of like being on the big stage in front of everybody and you choke, you know what I mean?
What happened? Who choked? I wasn't listening. What happened?
A lady called her and asked ye, and the lady choked.
What lady choked?
Yeah, she said she had did some music, and Angela Yee heard it, and she called back, and Angela Yee gave her another chance, and she choked.
I don't remember anything about that. I don't listen to Asky.
Okay, but
this guy here. But cool story, bro. But thank you for checking in, man.
Hey, hold on, sir. Hold on. Can I get mine off my chest real quick?
Do you rap?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Can I cuss, though? I don't want
to. Sure. Nah, don't choke, though.
Okay, go.
All right, bet. I've been riding on my own since you home. I know you gone, but it still hurt to talk about it. All this pain in my soul when I felt your body cold. It left me froze, but it still hurt to talk about it. Hey. Riding on my own.
Oh boy.
They go.
You should have smoked the blunt before you called up here and did that. It sound better when you high, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
I know you probably sound better when you high. That ain't it, bro.
That ain't it.
Nah, that ain't it, man. That ain't it, my brother.
Goodbye, man. Goodness gracious. Whoa. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this Team Matters. Yo, what's up, DJ Envy Charlamagne?
What's up, bro?
What's going on? Yo, I got something to get off my chest, man.
Go.
Hey, the other day about that Santa Claus thing, right? You got four elements. You got Cupid, you got the Easter Bunny, you got Santa Claus, and you got Jesus. Now, when your child grows up and finds out that 75% of the stuff you told them as a little kid ain't real, what makes you think the other 25% ain't going to be affected?
I agree with you.
I never told my kids about Cupid.
You feel me?
That's one.
I said that during Donkey of the Day the other day, and I've been saying that my whole life.
Yeah, I agree with you, Charlamagne.
The Easter Bunny leaves eggs for my kids, and the eggs got money and candy in them.
Man, bunnies don't even lay eggs.
And Santa.
Hey, I didn't say they lay eggs.
I said she left eggs. And then Santa, he leaves a bunch of gifts.
Yes, sir.
What about the elf on the shelf?
I got to agree with you, too, that the first 30 seconds of The Breakfast Club should be pre-recorded. That way everybody gets their yo-yo-yo-yo-yos, and y'all ain't even got to worry about it no more, and everybody gets to come to work 5 minutes late.
I agree, but guess what? If people believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy, they can believe that I'm here on time going yo-yo-yo-yo-yo-yo. So I agree with you.
Goodness gracious. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. When we come back, we got the rumor report. French Montana, he's home, and he'll tell you why he was in ICU. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive, the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We ain't playing enough Christmas music, y'all. I'm telling you.
You say that all every
we
day.
We not. What's up, man? Program some Christmas music. I want to hear Lil Duval Christmas Trees.
You got,
and Bumquisha.
Christmas in Hollis. You at least have that? All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk French Montana.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Shout out to French Montana. He released an album last week. He was in ICU for a couple of days. Well, academics flew out to L.A. and had a conversation with French about what was going on, and this is how it went.
When I was there, the doctor was like, I could have died if I ain't come in there. So when I went to Africa, you know, she still got problems with my pops. She didn't see her brothers and sisters for I mean, you know, when you don't see nobody for 25 years, you basically don't know the person. So I stayed with her. You know, over there, like I told you, like they don't got no guns over there. They fight with spirits and like that. So I just remember eating something bad and started hallucinating. And they call it shoot over there. And that plus being in the four countries, plus my birthday turn up, by the time I got to the crib, I was all discombobulated. And I just remember waking up in the ICU.
He was doing too much. He wasn't taking care of himself. It happens to the best of us. I've passed out on this head floor back in the day because of dehydration, because partying too goddamn hard. It happens.
Mm-hmm. But he said it was some type of voodoo. He thought somebody put something in his
ain't
food.
No goddamn voodoo.
That's what he said.
That's alcohol and whatever contraband you was putting in your body and partying too much and lack of sleep. That wasn't no damn voodoo.
Now, everybody been talking about Lizzo and what she wore to the Lakers game, and it went viral and people were upset with her. Well, she spoke to... I think she spoke to Gayle, right? She spoke to Gayle, CBS in the morning.
That
about
warranted
it.
A whole Gayle King interview?
Yes.
Stop.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
I stay in my own positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
so you don't even take it all in?
Well, it's their opinion. So, okay. I mean, it's not for me to really ingest. It's right. For them to express and for me to choose to listen to or not.
Or not. Was that a spontaneous moment for
you? Yeah, it absolutely was. I think no one would have ever saw what I was wearing, like the back of it, if I didn't get up and dance. And the Lakers girls came up to me and said, we're so excited that you're here. We want to perform one of your songs for you. And I remember I was sitting there and I was with my manager and my friend, and they were like, you should get up and dance. Like, they're doing this for you. And I was like, all right.
Listen, it's freedom of expression. She has the right to wear what she wants, and people have the right to express if they dig it or not. That's just the way the game go.
Well, Lizzo also said this on Gayle.
Yeah. Anyone who knows me knows that this is how I've always been. This is how I've always liked to dress. And it took
but
me a long time.
But did you forget your butt was out? When you got
well,
up and said,
I had on,
I'm just curious.
I had on layers down there. So my it wasn't just, you know, flesh to see. Uh-huh. But it was out.
Yeah.
You know how long it took me to fall in love with this body and to fall in love? Yeah. My butt was my least favorite thing about myself. Uh-huh. And I learned to love it. And that was the thing everybody can't stop talking about.
All right, well, the Houston Rockets reached out and said, Lizzo, we like your moves. You have an open invite to come to Houston and dance with us on the court at any time.
Well, that's different. If she's dancing on the court, you know, that outfit is totally appropriate when you're performing. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's appropriate to just wear it to a random game. But if you're performing and you're on stage, yeah, you rock that outfit.
Well, she said, I'll be there with bells on my booty.
Prince used to do it all the time. Prince used to have his ass out, but it was on stage, performing. Context matters.
Mm. Well, Amazon reportedly paid Rihanna $25 million for a documentary.
God bless her, man. Amazon cutting checks.
Yeah.
Drop on the clues bomb for Amazon, damn it. Amazon cutting checks. I know some people personally who got some good checks from Amazon. Salute to Amazon.
Now, they said they got about 1,000 hours of footage, and it's just fun. They said they traveled with Rihanna around Europe. Rihanna is surrounded by her girls. They were in France, her concerts. a whole bunch of things. So I look forward to that.
$25 million to do a goddamn documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, better hurry up on this Breakfast Club documentary. What the hell y'all dragging y'all feet for?
I'm with you.
I'm trying to make it happen.
All right.
Need one more person to confirm.
Who's that? What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. That's the problem. I'm going to therapy today at 3 o'clock.
You need it. Mm-hmm. You really need it. All right. Well, that is... Oh, we got Christmas songs. That's your rumor report.
What do we have, man? Lil Duval Christmas Trees?
Yeah, right. No, not
what
yet.
We got?
We got Christmas in Hollis.
I don't want to hear that.
Well, we're going to play that. That's the only Christmas song we got, and that's what we're going to play, all right? And when we come back, we got Front Page
Put Lil Duval Christmas Trees
We got
in,
a
please.
Friday. We just ain't got stuff,
And
man.
Christmas Blues by Boom Quisha.
There's Christmas in Hollis. What up, Queens, New York? It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. Man, it's DJ Envy. I'm excited, man.
Yo, it's Friday the 13th,
man.
Too, by the way.
Is it?
Are people still scared of Friday 13th? Y'all still scared of those superstitions?
No.
Do we have any superstitions?
No.
Me neither.
No. Well, let's get in some front page news. Thursday night football. The Ravens beat the Jets 42-21.
If I'm the Ravens, if I've already clinched the playoff spot, I'm not sure if they have. I'm sitting Lamar Jackson until playoff time.
I would as well. Now, Colin Kaepernick. Now, it seems like the NFL said, we've moved on.
Listen, this was, as I've said to you before, about creating an opportunity, which Colin's representatives came out in early October, and we created that opportunity. It was a unique opportunity, a credible opportunity, and he chose not to take it. I understand that, and, you know, we've moved on here.
I don't know, but I stopped caring about Colin Kaepernick being in the NFL a long time ago. It's easy to say the NFL wasn't serious about giving Kaep a shot, but we'll never know because he didn't show up to the workout, and that's fine. He made a choice, and we all got to live with our choices. And not to mention, the reason I don't care about Colin being in the NFL, because I think he's bigger than football, period. And I would stand with him on the front lines when it comes to any type of activism. I would stand with him when it comes to the initial cause he took a knee for, which is protesting against police brutality. But as far as, like, you know, me wanting him to play for the same people that he's oppressing him, that's ass backwards to me.
So when it comes to Colin Kaepernick in football, do we just say, you know what, let it go?
I don't know if
we still support.
I don't care about him being in the league. It never made any sense.
But he wants to be in the league.
Exactly, but that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if you say this organization is oppressing you, if you say that they're, you know, marginalizing you, I don't understand why you would want to play for them. That's just my personal opinion.
All right. Now, also, they're saying another coastal storm will impact the East Coast this weekend. They're saying during this time, this year travel will be difficult. A lot of ice accumulation. They're saying a lot of trees will be falling down, a lot of power lines. So they're saying it should be a lot of possible power outages. They said it should hit most of the Northeast, including New York City and Boston.
What kind of storm?
A rainstorm, a weather storm, I don't know.
A weather storm?
I don't know what type
of storm.
My God! I said a coastal
storm. Drop one of Clues bombs for Hampton University! Did y'all know that they have weather storms, people?
I said coastal storm.
You said weather storm.
I said coastal storm first.
Do you know that they have weather storms?
Coastal storm.
I thought storms were a part of the weather, but they have weather storms, baby.
Coastal storm.
Is it a winter warning storm? Is it winter? Is it rain?
It says another coastal storm.
I don't know what that
Google
means.
Coastal storm.
I don't have time.
Me neither. All right,
that.
And that is your front page news. You'll be back on Monday, and I ain't got to do this no more. All right. Now, let's talk about smart TVs.
I'm scared of smart TVs.
Are you afraid of your smart TVs and your smart cameras and all that stuff in the house? 800-585-1051.
Oh, that's why we're talking about that?
Let's talk about this now.
I'm scared of smart TVs. Did I tell you that? I had to tell you that.
No, you didn't tell me that. No, I was going to tell about this story about Ring. You know what Ring is? Ring is the camera system that a lot of people have outside their house or inside their house where they can see. People can ring the doorbell.
I heard about it.
So there was a situation where a young man walked into his house. He was 8 years old, and the Ring camera was on. And the Ring camera was like, hey, what's up, little man? And the kid was like, hey. He was like, I'm Santa. So the kid got scared, unplugged the Ring camera, walked into another room, and the guy was like, hey, I still see you. That's crazy. Somebody broke into their password, found out the password, changed the password, and could see everything on their in their house, what was going on.
I blame the parents for that. And the reason I blame the parents for that, for teaching their goddamn kids about Santa. Santa Claus ain't real. So if the guy had been on the speaker and said he was Santa, he would have known that that's not Santa, because Santa's not a real thing. He would have known that there was an issue. He would have known that there was a problem, instead of sitting there holding a conversation with Mr. Claus, who doesn't exist.
Santa does exist.
Oh, God.
Santa's a human being who's right now, he's probably making toys right now for all the little good kids out there.
Oh, he makes
there.
The toys now, too?
He makes the toys. You know Santa makes the toys?
Y'all elves, believe in this magical
elves,
white man so
and
goddamn
help
much.
Santa makes the toys.
Boy, he makes the toys
yes,
now?
Yes, the elves and Santa always made the toys. What's wrong with
all
you?
All right, so you're going to say that, but then when you get an Xbox, it says made in China.
Well, he made it in China.
This guy, yeah. What happened to the North Pole? Yeah. Y'all, boy, y'all, just keep on with
it's
these
a lot
white
of,
man's
it's a lot of
now.
Stuff. He does stuff in China. He does stuff in the North okay. Pole. He does anyway, stuff everywhere.
The moral of the story is I am definitely afraid of smart TVs,
goodness
especially
gracious.
When...
A humbug over there.
Especially
right?
when I'm in a hotel. When I'm in hotels, I'm really afraid of smart TVs.
Well, 800... Nobody wants to see your little naked pee-pee anyway, but 800-585-1051. Are you scared of smart TVs, smart cameras, smartphones, and all that?
What was the thing with the Ring person? What happened?
I told you, he broke into the password. He got the password broken, and then if you can get in their password, you can see the whole house and everything that's going on so in the house if you have cameras in the house.
So this is just a new-age digital peeping Tom, basically.
Pretty much.
Because he didn't try to steal anything. He didn't ask the little boy to do nothing. He just...
Nah, just looking at him, just being a pervert.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it. Are you scared of your smart TVs, your smartphones, your smart cameras? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about smart TVs, smart cameras. Are you afraid of them? So Charlamagne said he's afraid of them.
Yeah, I mean, smart TVs scare me because I feel like I'm never alone. I always feel like God is watching over me, but nowadays I feel like I'm always being watched. Like when I'm in hotel rooms, I feel like those smart TVs are cameras. Even when I turn my TVs off in my house, I feel like they're still on. And we got too many of those smart speakers around the house. Like I hate my four-year-old's relationship with Google. Hey, Google. Hey, Google. I hear Hey, Google more than I hear Hey, Daddy. I just feel like I'm constantly under surveillance, and I don't like it. And I know for a fact the phone is a tracking device, and it's probably hearing us and watching us all the time. I hate when I get in my car and my phone tells me where I'm going and how long it's going to take to get there. Like, how do you know I'm going to the gym? How do you know I'm headed to work? How do you know I'm going to get oxtails, rice, and beans? Like, was the smart TV watching us in the house, recording us, and then told the phone where I was going? Like, I don't appreciate that.
Well,
like,
it's usually with the phone. It's usually what you do every day. So every morning
I don't do
when
that
you get
every
up,
day.
You go to work every day, so it tells you it's going to take you an hour and 5 minutes to get to work.
Okay, I give you that
and
one.
When you go back home, it tells you the same thing. You're going home, it tells you what time it's going
to
go.
Yeah, but what about when you just randomly getting in the car because you say you want to go to, I don't know, the mall or the movies, and it's like movie theater. How do they know I'm going to the movies?
Mm-hmm. I know sometimes when whatever you Google, it'll show you in ads, whatever you Google, something similar to what you Google. So if you Googled a car, it'll tell you an ad of all different cars on your Instagram or Facebook. It does that a lot.
Daniel, our producer who works here, says he keeps a Band-Aid over the camera on his phone, and I get... And I, huh?
On his iPad.
iPad. He keeps a Band-Aid over the phone on his iPad and laptop. I'm assuming some people do that for their TVs. I do. I am the guy that will turn the camera around sometime in the house just because. So I don't know. I just don't like the feeling of being under surveillance all the time.
Yeah, I'm not too scared. I don't know why it doesn't bother me. I'm not too scared. I mean, I know the phone tracks you. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that, but it doesn't really bother me.
I mean, you know, when you're in a hotel or something and you with your wife, you know, you would hope that... That like your wife's not being recorded by the smart TV. Me personally, I'm just afraid of getting caught with shrinkage. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't want that. Like if I was to get recorded by a smart TV, I would want them to see me in all my glory because I am a grower, not a shower. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
How embarrassing that would be?
All right, Mini Me, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, Shay.
And it'd probably be in HD.
What's up?
Hey,
good morning.
We just talking about Charlamagne's little meat, but we're asking 800-585-1051. Are you afraid of smart TVs or smart cams?
I'm gonna have to go with yes.
Why?
Like, you'll keep the store busy. So one day I get a link. A friend of mine at the time, my ex at the time, he sends me a link. And he's like, "Hey, download this and send me the code off of it." It was like some T-Mobile code or something. So me being oblivious, I go ahead, I download the link, I send them the code, not thinking nothing about it. Come to find out that link downloaded spyware onto my phone where he was able to like remote view into my camera. He was able to remote view into my microphone, access my text messages, my location.
That's dope.
Everything. No, it's not dope. That's
dope.
A violation of privacy at its best.
Yes, it is. That's definitely a violation of privacy. Can you answer me a question? Because I'm old. What's remote video, whatever the hell you just said?
No, so he can use her camera to see what's going on in the room.
So remote meaning at your house?
A different location.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He could literally, I don't know how it works,
but he could like tell me what I was doing. He was, and I started to catch on because he was starting to repeat conversations that I was having with my friends, text messages when he wasn't even in town to have access to my phone. And the only reason that I picked up, well, that's why I figured it out. So, yo, I called T-Mobile and they're like, well, there's something with the virus. We end up being transferred over to Samsung, and Samsung was the one who was able to figure out that it was actually on there.
Right.
Because it was starting to get crazy, yo, because I had went to Best Buy Geek Squad. I know it's a long story. Sorry, guys. And they're like, well, yeah, you can just download spyware onto your phone. Well, come to find out, at some point, he this act deactivated the malware that would have caught it, deactivated it, sent me the link, and then set me up what he thought was failure. I wasn't doing nothing anyway, but...
You know what's so wild about that? I bet you thought you found your soulmate. You're like, this guy really knows me. This guy really knows me. He knows what I like. Yo, he's reading my mind.
How does he know? Find out. Cole had me on straight cat.
That's
and there was nothing legal I could do about it because it ain't like he's going to admit it, but it was wild. It was definitely
That's
wild.
Worse than any Thank Steve Harvey shit. Book.
That's crazy.
Remember Steve Harvey was giving away all the secrets? That's even better.
800-585-1051. Are you afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cameras? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about, are you afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cameras? Charlamagne said he is. He said when he goes to a hotel,
I'm right here,
he'll
fool.
Turn the TV because they don't want him to see his little pee-pee.
That is true, though. I mean, listen, when you're in a hotel, or even when you're at home, you know, smart TVs are not your friend. You know, I turn my TVs off in my house, and I feel like they're still on. You know, sometimes when I'm in a hotel, I might put a towel up over it because I don't want them to see me when I got shrinkage.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If they catch me when, you know, I'm growing or something, cool. Because, you know, I'm a grower, not a shower, baby.
Essence.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning. Hi, Essence.
We were just talking about Charlamagne's shrinkage, his little pee-pee, but...
Envy's favorite subject.
We're talking about you now. Are you scared of your favorite... Are you afraid of your smart TVs?
Go ahead and say it. Say it.
Are you afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cams?
I am afraid of everything besides my phone. I think Alexa and Amazon creating it are the devil. I think that the technology is evolving and is going to destroy us. I think everybody should get a map and a flip phone and just have it on deck.
You said a map and a flip phone.
Why you say you're scared of everything but your phone? Like, I'm terrified of my phone. I feel like the phone is a tracking device. I feel like the phone is hearing you and watching you all the time, even more than the TV, because it's always with you.
Well, I turn my location off. That's number one. So I don't have, like, any of that going on. So I feel like that protects me just a little bit. But Alexa... I know people who have conversations with Alexa, like ask her questions and tell her to sing lullabies, and it's just taking it too far. Like, artificial intelligence is a dangerous thing to me.
Yeah, so
I don't believe in any of it.
I'm with you. I hate my 4-year-old relationship with Google, and I'm going to tell you something else about artificial intelligence.
What's that?
We are really stupid if we let artificial intelligence overcome us because we create artificial intelligence. I don't understand it. Stop creating these goddamn robots if you don't want them to take us over.
Hello, who's this?
It's Marty from Jersey.
Hey, what's up, bro? Are you scared of smart TVs and smart cameras?
I'm more scared of the phones, man. Your phone with you 24/7. You on your TV a few hours a day.
You shouldn't be scared of your phone, bro. Y'all don't think your phone works too well.
You say you don't think my phone works too well.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, you got to take your phone out your mouth, bro.
Come on, man. Cut it out, yo.
Nah, you probably Googling sexy hot men, and then you put your phone in your mouth.
800-585-1051. We're talking, are you afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cams? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth,
Let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking, are you afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cameras? Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Pete from Ohio. What's up?
What's up, bro? You afraid of your smart TVs or your smart cam?
Nah, not at all.
Why not?
I look at it like this. If you do hack into my system, y'all should be paying me for the free show.
I didn't find that amusing.
That wasn't funny.
I didn't find that amusing. Like, nothing amusing about people spying on us and,
nothing at all.
Being peeping toms. I don't find that amusing, sir.
I don't know, man. Just make stronger passwords. I mean, you can't hack a system with a strong password.
It don't have nothing to do with passwords and hacking. It's the fact that these smart TVs can also be cameras as well.
Hello, who's this?
You got to hack into it?
J-Bug.
Oh.
Now, we're asking 800-585-1051. Are you afraid of your smart TVs or smart cams?
Not at all.
Why not?
Because, man, I don't really think they'd be paying attention like that. I think they're more so in the listening.
They more so what?
Listening. Like, I'll be more concerned about a microphone than a camera.
Well, the microphone is on the goddamn phone all day long.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, even with that, I'm kind of skeptical of keeping my phone with me.
You know what's so crazy? People talk about passwords and talk about creating stronger passwords. Mm-hmm. You do realize you're putting your password into these devices, right?
Correct.
So these devices know your goddamn password.
That is
like,
true.
Like somebody somewhere knows your password. You're putting them in the smart TV, in the iPhone.
Right.
Like you're not the only person who knows this. You're downloading that password into a system.
Hello?
That is a fact.
And where you come from?
I don't know. You just popped me in, and I'm just joining in. Everything he said was fact.
All right.
Bro.
Tag, you're it, baby.
All right. Now, we're talking. Are you afraid of smartphones or smart TVs, bro?
I'm not really afraid of smart TVs. I'm afraid of smart people who hack my smart TVs. To be honest with you, my smart TV never did nothing but did everything I wanted to do. Changed all the channels I wanted it to change. It played all the movies I wanted it to play. Now, if a smart guy hacked my smart TV, ain't nothing I could do. Ain't nothing I could do about that. You feel me?
All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, but it's going to be a very scary, cold day when you're sitting around having a conversation with, hey, Google, or Alexa, and they really start talking back to your ass.
Nope.
Not just talking back, asking you what song you want to hear, but having a full-blown conversation with you.
Well, what's the moral of the story?
I don't know. The moral of the story is don't let your smartphones be smarter than you and your smart TVs be smarter than you.
All right.
I think all of this smart stuff is creating a whole generation of dumb people.
All right, well, we got rumors coming up. We'll find out who said no more white women for 2020.
All right. Dr. Umar.
We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Dropping the clues bombs for Philadelphia, baby. The Philadelphia 76ers.
That's right. Shout out to Michael Rubin during Change for Change. We do this every year where we raise money for a different cause. This year, Michael Rubin donated $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that if we wear Philadelphia 76ers gear one time a week,
yes,
he will donate an additional $25,000.
Which I have no problem doing because I got a lot of love for Philadelphia. I did have my own morning radio show in Philadelphia back in 2009. As well as Allen Iverson being my favorite NBA player of all time.
So Shout out to AI.
Yep, I got a lot of Allen Iverson jerseys. I don't mind wearing a Dr. J jersey. I don't mind repping Philly. Like, and I don't have an NBA team, so, you know.
Well, I do, but the fact that he gave an additional $25,000 to an HBCU is very, we're very thankful for that. So yes, because of that, I'm going to wear one time a week a 76ers wear. That's why I got the 76ers hat on today. Michael Rubin, shout to you.
If you actually had an NBA team, you wouldn't be doing it, but you're not a real Knicks fan.
I am.
And you see, I got a Philadelphia 76ers hoodie on.
What size is that?
Clearly, this came from Joel Embiid. This is like a 2X, 3X.
Goodness gracious. Drum, like a skirt.
Drum, what did you tell me earlier? What did you say I look like?
He stayed at his boyfriend's house last night. He didn't have no clothes. So
kind of does look like you stayed at your boyfriend's house and you ain't got no clothes and you wearing this hoodie. I'm not, yeah.
This is comfortable, though.
What size Serge Ibaka wear? What size you think he wear?
Man, shut up.
All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk about the guy that says, no more white women in 2020.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
So Antonio Brown, he went on a Twitter rant last night. First he said, I done lost it all, just not myself. Chelsea, Chris, 8 months, just baby mama, 3. So we clear at Google.
What is this about?
I don't know.
Who is Chelsea, Chris?
What
is
he? Maybe that's his baby mama. That's what he said. No more white women in 2020.
No more white women after Labor Day.
Then he says, I'm a rapper, chill. I can't even let you scrubs be mentioned on my mentions. But Antonio Brown says, no more white women in 2020.
Well, Dr. Umar Johnson would be proud of you, Antonio Brown. You made Dr. Umar proud, okay? Dropping the clues bombs for Dr. Umar. Dr. Umar was on the Breakfast Club this week.
Mm-hmm.
We put that out on YouTube later today.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Umar would be very happy to hear that based off the conversation that he had with us this week.
Yes, he did. Goodness gracious. Well, in some good news, French Montana seems like he squashed the beef between him and Jim Jones and Max Beef, so they have no beef.
Shout out to Jim. Me and him spoke. You know what I'm saying? We killed all that beef.
How was that conversation?
It became stupid. You know what I'm saying? It became stupid. Max doing 75 years. He's on with his life. I'm on with my life. Like, what we still beefing about? He gave Max his paperwork. Max is dropping music. That's really what it was about. It was about Max getting his paperwork. And Max trying to feed his family. I mean, what you gonna do if you try to feed your family if somebody got you under contract? And me just being his next to him, I was in it regardless.
Yeah, I don't know about everything else he's talking about, but I'm happy that they're not beefing no more.
Yeah, I'm glad they're not.
I like to see brothers beefing for nothing. Like if it ain't, you know, if no money was involved and nobody got hurt, like, what do y'all got issues for? I'm glad to see they squashed that.
They worked it out, and I'm glad they squashed that. Now, Offset, he claims Juice WRLD will be on Amigos' Culture 3 album.
I want to say RIP to my brother Juice, okay. Man. It's sad to lose another talented artist. Drugs, man. God bless him and his family. Number of respect. He was one of the young that really could flow, though. He really could rap, freestyle, go crazy. Work ethic was crazy. I got this song called was bracking with him. I'm going to probably put that on Culture 3. He going 8 on that thing.
Mm. And Juice WRLD's mom, I don't have it, but I read it. She also made a statement to TMZ saying, you know, she was saddened that she lost her son, of course, but she's hoping that artists and other people can learn from her son's mistake in use of drugs, and hopefully they can see what happened to him and not run down that same road, you know, with drugs.
Yeah, I just wish that people didn't have to die in order for people to learn from that mistake of, you know, drug addiction, especially opioid addiction. You know, like some of these brothers who have been on these opioids and had a problem with opioids that have lived to tell the tale, they have to tell some of their stories. That's why I really enjoyed, you know, talking to Meek Mill this week,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we're gonna play that conversation next hour so you can hear what Meek had to say about, you know, opioids and perks and all of that good stuff.
One thing I've been seeing a lot this week is a lot of artists saying that have been on lean or that were using lean or using opioids and using drugs saying that they're going to stop.
By the way, I saw Trippie Redd say that, and I believe them, but I'm letting them know right now, it's not going to be that easy.
Not at all.
Because if you've been using opioids and perks and all of that stuff for a while, you're going to need some type of rehab.
Right.
So don't be afraid to go to rehab either, my brothers. Mm-hmm. Okay? Don't just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, quit this cold turkey, because it may not be that easy for you, depending on how long you've been using it. You might really be addicted and not know it.
Right. And lastly, Quavo from the Migos, he said he just produced his first horror film. It's called The Resort, coming soon. Got audio there? But he said he's produced his first horror film, so we'll look forward to that. It seems like they're doing other things, just music, which I love. keep the money keep coming in other streams. So congratulations to him.
And listen, too, I want to say rest in peace to XXXTentacion. He put out an album called Bad Vibes Forever. And I saw a bunch of the youngins in my comments, because you know I'm old. I'm old Uncle Charlotte.
So we can tell with the shirt you're wearing.
Shut up, man. I'm doing this for the kids. You know, I'm old. So I had a bunch of people in my mentions saying, XXXTentacion mentioned you on his new album. And it took me about an hour to figure out what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But the only reason I figured it out is because I had to ask people way younger than me, and I had to go to Genius.
Okay, what'd he say?
Let's hear it. I might drop a bomb on your head, yeah, folks, yeah. Blow it, no, so dumb, I'll put money on your head. Shut up, like Charlamagne. Please excuse this cash on your fresh out the bank.
Jesus, he says light skin like Charlamagne?
Man, shut up. And it did not help that we had to bleep that just now. You didn't understand what he said?
No, I thought he said light skin like Charlamagne.
Play it one more time. See, right, and listen, because it's a bleep. It's a reverse. Right, listen. I might drop a bomb on your head, yeah, folks, yeah. Blow it, no, so dumb, I'll put money on your head. Shut up like Charlamagne. Please excuse this cash on your fresh out the bank. Okay, our producer Reverse Funk Flex name, too. I don't care. I'm not a hater like that. But he said, I might drop a bomb on your head, Funk Flex, yeah. Blew up, no Saddam. I put money on your head, yeah. Shorty, I'm an a-hole like Charlemagne.
Oh. how am I supposed to know that?
Kid was in my YouTube yesterday and on my Instagram hitting me up saying, yo, XXX mentioned you on his new album. And they were telling, go listen to Attention. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I think he said light skin like Charlemagne. No, I don't know. What do you think he said, Drum?
Light skin and somebody you owe him on Cash App or something?
He said I'm an a-hole like Charlemagne. That's what he said.
Light skin, a-hole, same difference.
I'm not an a-hole. I'm a nice guy. Sound like my a-hole. You sounded just like my a-hole just now, especially after I eat some beans.
I hate this show, man. I hate this show. All right. Well, that was your rumor report. Now, a-hole, who are you giving your donkey to?
Listen, four after the hour, we need this young man to come to the front of the congregation. I don't want to say his name because I want to say his name as little as possible. But this is when pretending to be what you... You know how they say you turn out to be what you pretend to be?
Correct.
Yeah, he's pretending to be the wrong thing. That's what the hell I'm trying to say. We'll talk about it four after the hour.
All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for December, Friday the 13th, goes to a California man named Steve Homoki. Okay, Steve is 30 years old and was arrested and charged with possession of an assault weapon, possession of a high-capacity magazine, and child endangerment. Now, what did Steve Homoki do to get all these charges? Let's go to ABC News for the report, please.
Authorities arresting a man in San Diego they suspect may have been rehearsing a deadly plot.
The suspect, police say, posted videos of himself carrying out what they call a rehearsal of a terrorist mass shooting in downtown San Diego, is under arrest. The chilling images show a man inside a room at the Sophia Hotel, repeatedly aiming and pretending to shoot people. The man, identified by investigators as 30-year-old Stephen Homoki, is seen changing out magazines and guns. The video showing at least two assault-style rifles and ammunition scattered on the floor. The videos were posted in September, but according to the search warrant, the FBI didn't learn about them until more than 2 months later from an anonymous tip. The tipster said the suspect had gone off the deep end, reporting fears that he is planning something. Authorities arresting Homoki at his home without incident on charges including possession of an assault weapon and high-capacity magazine.
I don't even ask why anymore. As of October 31st, 2019, it's been 370 mass shootings in the United States this year. 370. Okay, we are all scared of the domestic terrorist known as Vanilla ISIS. One of the reasons I have social anxiety in places with a lot of people is because of the threat, our perceived threat of mass shootings in America, okay? It's not just Powerball and Mega Millions. When it comes to mass shootings, hey, you never know. This is exactly why giving these people attention is so dangerous. Of course, you have to report when it's a mass shooting, but these mass shooters become infamous, all right? They want to be infamous. These folks think it's, you know, this is how they become immortalized, okay? When I was young, I absolutely pretended to be things and people that I wanted to be. It could range from the local drug dealer in your neighborhood to your uncle who worked at UPS who had a nice house and a BMW. What did you pretend to be when you were young, Envy?
I pretended to be probably Batman.
All right. Well, whether it's the local drug dealer or your uncle who worked at UPS who had a nice house in the BMW or Batman, what do those three things have in common? They was getting money, all right? They were hustlers. That's all we ever pretended to be growing up, people who were making moves and getting money. That's fly. That's what I wanted to be growing up, successful, all right, and fly. And there's absolutely nothing fly about being a mass shooter, okay? Being a mass shooter should not be a career goal. In fact, if you are sitting around with thoughts of being a mass shooter, I am truly praying for you because you need therapy, all right? You need some type of counseling. Someone needed to sit down and build with you about all that pain you're feeling, all that hurt you have inside you, because like I always say, hurt people, and when you don't deal with that hurt inside of you, then you end up redistributing that pain to other people. Now, would you like to hear what the mass shooting rehearsal video sounds like? Inside Edition has the audio.
One down. More to go.
Lord have mercy.
One mag. You pick up another, right? Like that. You drop the gun, pick up another gun, boom.
I wonder if the world was always this crazy and we didn't see it, but now with social media, we are able to see all the crazy everywhere because it's starting to be overwhelming. I usually hate when people announce their plans before they execute them on social media. You know, the type who go to record labels or go to TV networks and take videos in front of the logo with a caption like, never not working, or hashtag blessed. But this is one of those moments where I am absolutely glad it's less work, more announcements. Now, he could easily get Donkey of the Day for this. I could leave it right here, but nope. The reason he's getting Donkey of the Day is because he did an interview from jail, and he said this.
I do not wish to cause harm to anybody. It was just kind of like a little miniature art project just for myself.
He said it was a miniature art project. He wanted to relax, do something a little fun, a little something different. What about hiking, biking, learn how to cook, learn how to bake? How about masturbate? There's a million different things you could do that are relaxing, fun, and different. And rehearsing a mass shooting is not one of them. My guy, if you want to play with guns, play Call of Duty. Okay, I don't care that it's Christmas. Nobody got time for your little reindeer games. I hope he gets at least a decade in prison for playing like this, because some things you shouldn't be able to play about, and murdering multiple people for no reason at all is one of them. Now, before we move on, let's play a very obvious game of guess what race it is! All right, guys. Steve Amoki, 30 years old, arrested and charged with possession of an assault weapon, possession of a high-capacity magazine, and child endangerment, all because he was pretending to rehearse a mass shooting because he wanted to relax and do something a little fun and different. DJ Envy.
Yes.
Guess what race he is?
Say his last name again.
Steve Homoki.
Homoki.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's messing me up because I'm thinking Steve Aoki.
Man, shut up, man.
I'm telling you, because Homoki, it's Homoki.
Well, the Homoki name and meaning, if you must know, Homoki families moved over time. Oh, the Homoki family name was found in the USA in 1920. In 1920, there were three Homoki families living in Michigan. This was about 27% of all the recorded Homokis in the USA. Michigan has the highest population of Homokis.
Right.
Yes. Shake it. We knew this already.
I'm right.
Yes, you're right. Everybody knew this.
All right.
Just wanted to just make it absolutely clear that the mayonnaise was very heavy in this one. So please let Kathy Griffin give Steve Homoki the biggest hee-haw.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
Steve.
What's the matter, Steve?
What do you want to say, Steve, and the white demon?
I just want to say the Jersey City shooters were black.
Boy, if you don't got this damn studio right now, get your ass off this studio. Nobody asked you nothing. Shut up. I didn't even know why. Did I ask him?
Yes.
I didn't ask him for that. Did I? I did?
No, well, you kind of did.
I kind of did, right?
He said, Steve, what? Steve.
Shut up, Steve. Jesus.
Goodness gracious. All right. Up next. Charlamagne kicked it with Meek Mill a couple of days ago.
Yes, I went to the Bahamas to go bail with Meek. You know, he just got nominated for a Grammy for championships.
Mm-hmm.
Very well-deserved Grammy nomination. Right.
So we're going to get that back on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And he's working on new music, and he's got thoughts on a whole lot of things. Meek had a really great year.
All right, so we'll talk to him when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, a couple of days ago, Charlamagne flew out to the Bahamas to kick it with Meek Mill. They talked about a lot, but let's get into it.
Meek Mogul.
Yeah.
That's your new name, man, Meek Mogul.
Meek Billy.
Meek Billy.
Yeah. I call it Billy Meek Billy.
How close do you feel like you are to that, man?
2023, 25, some shit like that. I believe it's possible.
I saw you post the other day. You was like, yo, when I hit that 100 million, I'm going to put it on the gram.
Yeah, I'm going to post that. I gotta let people see how that look. Yeah. Like, nobody never showed me how that look when I was poor, so I ain't had dreams or aspirations of that. As I got on the music and like that, I used to think like $1 million just was like the world. Even $100 million, some people, that ain't the world, but to where we come from, that's like extreme wealth from the levels that poverty we come from.
Well, I like everything you're doing, man. I feel like you've really, really found your purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you let me hear a bunch of records just now. Like, how much does your new music reflect what you stand for right now?
It always been mixed up like that. I was talking a whole one time. It just like, I heard on your last album, like, it's not what you say, it's how you say certain things. Like, you know, you might hear Hov and them pop some shit in they rap. I forgot what he said, some shit. It was like, through a hands-free, some shit like that.
I still don't know what that is.
I don't know what hands-free is, but he said he was get you touched through a hands-free. Yeah. But, you know what I mean? It's the way he said it. The way I would have said it, yeah, I would put a check on you. Check on your head. Like, there's just different ways, like, how you deliver art and you deliver people when you get to certain levels and you're growing and you're trying to reach the masses. So I think this year I got good advice. I'm 32, grown a little bit, so, you know, it's kicking in.
That comes with experience and education, though, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Getting education from the greatest rapper in my book, mm-hmm. You're getting a class, getting information straight from him, as experiences that I went through at this age, so yeah.
I wonder where you at, because on your first album, Dreams and Nightmares, you had a song called Traumatized.
Yeah.
But then on your championships album, Grammy nominated, by the way, you got a song called Trauma.
Yeah.
So how have you changed mentally from the time you wrote the first song to the second?
The first one, like the first song of Trauma, I'm sick. I'm in the hood. I got the hood mentality. Like, you know what I mean? I kill anybody, I do anything just for the dumbest reasons. And my mind traumatized. You hear me talking about I want to kill a guy that killed my dad. Me now, I don't know if I'd be able to see you and control my emotions. Somebody had killed my father, but me, I don't even think about like that no more. I think time heal everything. It ain't on my agenda to do, but as an 18-year-old kid, 19 years old, probably when I wrote that rap, that was my mind frame. That was what I was feeling. So I think over like growth and shit like that, I changed. It's just different situations. Me probably at traumatized when I was doing that, when I was thinking that way. I still was being in the hood. I was still around murder. Still could have got murdered any day being in them environments. Being paranoid, trying to protect yourself, being around death and shit like that. I've been out the hood kind of a little more for the last few years, so I don't have the same type of mentality fully, but it's still there.
You think you've done anything to, like, try to deal with that trauma?
Yeah, hell yeah. I've been smoking weed all week. I'm smoking all day. I got 100 friends that have been murdered. When we lay down in the bed, we got to smoke something, take a Benadryl, something. You start thinking about 10 of your homies that got killed last year. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like a little, yeah, I smoke. I used to take perks. Remember I was talking about on your show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to take perks and shit like that. But all that came from like a balance of dealing with shit like that. Got him out of jail. The Philadelphia's public defender's office got him out of jail, and we supported it. And he went to jail for not having 1900. Basically, like, you got judges and shit that send kids to jail for, like,
for the child support.
Yeah, yeah, but that's just one thing. You know, you get sent to jail for taking Percocets or for smoking weed. But me, from experience of living in the hood, I know these young kids that's coming to this courtroom, they've been shot at by police, their brothers got murdered in front of their moms, in front of their face, all types of raw shit they've been through. Friday the 13th, every day, you gonna lock them up for smoking weed at night? Because they going, but y'all prescribing this shit to soldiers and saying it's medicine, you know what I'm saying? What was my point I was making? I lost
You know, we were talking about, you know how to deal with the trauma, but you can't get a kid, like, just drugs.
Oh, I ain't giving them that. I'm telling you what I was doing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I'm talking about having 20, 30 homies and shit, being rich, coming from poverty and growing so far away from your people. And there's so many things. You got to cut people off. You got to deal with people being famous all day. You got to act like you happy. Mm-hmm. If I go to a family cookout, I tell my family, I'm not trying to talk to 10 people at one time, because before I was famous, I didn't used to talk to people at one time. So I would be fake coming to a family event and just trying to cater to everybody because I'm a celebrity. That's the type of shit that make people like depressed, go through shit. Mm-hmm. There's so many different compartments to it. So, you know, me, that was the way what I do so I could get some sleep. I can't sleep at night. So
you know, I might spark up here and there. I'm about to stop smoking right now, tomorrow when I go back from the Bahamas just for a little period of time.
What's making you stop?
So I won't be addicted to nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the other part of reform, though, right? Can you talk about...
Then they sending these babies to jail. These all got addictive ways. Their mom was using drugs or their dads and that. So once they get introduced to it, you won't be on it. So me, I don't want to be addicted to anything, you know? I think weed is not a hardcore drug, but I only want to be addicted to that. A cigarette, liquor, anything.
When they told you was nominated for a Grammy for championships, how did you feel?
I didn't really feel nothing, for real, if we being all the way technical. I was excited. But like me, I've been doing this shit for a long time. I'm real vetting this shit with me, how I feel personally. I came from Philadelphia era of having to stand on the corner. And I'm not a battle rapper. When people say that, they be like, it make me mad a little bit. Because I'd be like, I was only battling people when you seen me on corners, because that's what was going on. People was rapping on the corners. And when we got to studios, you ain't see me rapping on the corner with people and shit like that. So I've been rapping for 10 years. I ain't never really get nominated for nothing. So when I get nominated for something, me, I'm not really going to, like, it's not going to excite me to the fullest extent it's supposed to, because who's judging me? I don't even understand the process.
That's dope.
I would really be lying to you if I told you that. Yes, I do. I think a Grammy is the highest form of a musical award you can achieve in our world that we in right now. But just... not even towards them or anybody. If you've been making music and been good for 10 years and never really been acknowledged, it ain't really going to make you really jump when you do get acknowledged. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm a street rapper. I'm like gangster, hardcore street rapper. I come from that. We always been like categorized as the guys that our art didn't really match up to, like the commercial or the guys who were like friendly towards America with their music. So...
you just don't need their validation, basically.
No, I don't need nobody validation. If you know me, Jay-Z can give me $1 million to $100 million. I'm going to walk off like nothing ain't going on. Everybody know me. I'm not going to get excited. Maybe if I win that shit, get in my hand, I might change. But just from me doing it, I know sometimes I see people get awards over me. I'd be like, I know I'm better than them in that category, that specific category. And it might make me feel insecure or less of a person because I'm letting that academy judge my talent or skill. Sometimes that could go to your head. So I always try to remove that. I remove billboards, numbers, and shit like that. Like when my album do good, they say Meek Mill sold 300 first week. You ain't gonna see me post that more than once. Like I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna put it up, but I ain't gonna keep posting that like that's what it's about, because that don't really drive me and make me excited.
All right, we got more with Meek Mill when we come back. Let's get into a Meek Mill mini mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, a couple days ago, Charlamagne flew out to the Bahamas to kiki with Meek Mill. Talk about his album, his Grammy nomination, and, of course, prison reform. Let's listen in.
What do you think is the most effective way to combat police brutality right now?
I don't know. I came from the trap. I don't know how to combat. I get caught up in interviews a lot trying to be like a Martin Luther King and trying to come up with these crazy solutions. Like, I got booked with a gun. I got locked up with a pistol. I dropped out of school in 11th grade, like that. When they asked me, what about Donald Trump in the pot? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm from North Philly. I don't know about that shit. I don't know what you could do to stop it, but... I know I'm not accepting it in my mentality that it's normal anymore. I used to accept getting beat up by police was normal. Getting shot at. I got a homie right here. He got shot at by the police. We was talking about this 2 days ago in here. I said, you got shot at by the police and you got charged with attempted murder. You know That's why crazy. They had to charge him with attempted murder?
To cover
because
themselves.
They had to make up a reason why they shot at him. Yeah. But I told him, I'm like, look, and this is a person that be with me every day. I said, if you came and told this story in front of Mike and them, they'd be amazed. But in our world, we never even bring that shit up. We never even thought about it. We got people like that around us every day, so you know.
Because it's normalized.
Yeah, it's normal. So my mentality, me, my family, and people I could teach, we teaching it ain't normal. Even Michael Rubin, he actually taught me, a white man that don't come from my community where I come from. I was like, yeah, no, that's the type of shit they send me to jail for. They've been doing it. He like, that's not normal. I'm like, it is normal. He got serious, like, no, that's not normal. Like, that you even thinking like that. That make me mad that you think like that. And I kind of caught on and I start seeing the way he live. He f***ing around, put a cell phone out in the courtroom. And they ain't going to carry him out of that courtroom. It's just a different level of respect for the white man and the black man
or the brown man in the system or the brown woman in the system, and it's a clear cut. And now I got billionaires and Caucasian people who have sense, who have power, saying that these things don't make any sense on our side. So it's just bringing, like, a real level of awareness, and I'm using it and taking it to the fullest extent that I can.
Is that what made you open your eyes to it, when you have the conversations with the Michael Rubens and you telling them it's two Americas, and they starting to hear about these things that are normal to us, and they looking like, this shit ain't normal?
Yeah, and the crazy part is, and now I'm thinking about it, Michael Rubens said that to me before. One time she sent me to jail, probably in 2014. When she sent me to jail, it was basically over the dumbest shit. I don't even remember what she sent me to jail for. She sent me so many times. It was like not committing crime. So when I was in jail, where I was at mentally in my life, I felt like I kind of was about to crash. I'm doing lean, making bad decisions and shit. So when she sent me to jail, I'm talking to Jay, I'm like, yeah, man, I probably needed to be in here. Man, my life was moving a little funny. He said, man, you don't never need to be in no motherfucking jail. You don't need to be locked away about no animal to get your sense. You sit down and think. That's not never the solution. If you ain't committing crime, you ain't no threat. You ain't supposed to go to jail just because your head ain't thinking right. You know what I'm saying? Change your environment, anything. And that was like my first eye-opener to, like, that shit wasn't normal, because the way they were saying it to me, they were saying it with aggression.
How do you, what conversation do you have with your son?
Like, on what level?
Just about any of this. So you talk about the corruption of the system, you know, knowing the experiences you went through as a black man, but his experience is going to be totally different.
I don't even talk to my son about that type of stuff, really, right, at this point. My son, 8, he, like, played Fortnite. Like, I don't even want to introduce him yet into worlds that he don't even have to be introduced to. Like, when I grew up, everybody be like, you bad. Y'all told me I'm bad 5,000 times when I was 5 years old. Now I want to be bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to introduce my son into even putting that in his head of, I don't think he need that type of training until he's about 13, 14 years old. So I'm trying to stay away from it. Like, he don't understand. He's like, why you in dad jail? Why you in jail, dad? I was riding a motorcycle, I'm popping a wheelie, but I ride motorcycles with him every day, 7 days a week, in a Caucasian suburban neighborhood. You ain't supposed to ride on the street, but all the neighbors got bikes. You think they gonna call the cops on all of us and go to jail? No. So he don't really understand it. So, you know, I just kind of leave it at that. I don't think he had the age to really, I ain't gonna get up here and sound like the perfect dad, like I taught my son how to stay away from police at the age of 8. Nah, I keep that out of his life. I've been in jail probably 3 times since my son was like 5. And none of the times when he come in and ask me, I don't know what the hell to say. I just know not to lie to my son and say I'm in school or prison. I ain't know what to say last time because it was an emotional situation. But I ain't lying. When the first time I talked to my son after 1.5, 2 weeks, I'm in jail. Hopefully I get out soon, but I went to jail for some stupid riding bikes like we do all the time. This is the situation. My son be saying like, oh, and we leave it at that.
Talk to me about Blueface and your new artist, Young Ro. I saw that playing out on Instagram the other day.
I probably knew Young Ro 17 days. Him and Blueface is going back to back, and everything is Meek artist. I've been around this 10 years. Like, why the is DJ Academics posting Blueface talking about Young Ro on Instagram? He posted it 3-4 times in a row. Like, I watched him. Everybody tactical and, like, strategic. It was 3 posts of Blueface talking about Young Ro. I'm like, Young Ro knew. Nobody even knew him yet. So what is leading up to? My name being there. What else is going to lead up to? Wack 100 saying something. Now what? I'm saying something. Now what? This is a kid I just met a week ago and just signed and wanted to make some money with him. Now I'm in the middle of a fucking beef. I got laws. I got real shit going on. I'm scared to be in the middle of this shit. I don't want to be a law trainer. I'm trying to live my life. I'm trying to make a few mistakes. I don't want to be here, but I had to make that known that, like, I don't even entertain that type of shit no more. Leave me out of that. Like, bro, I'm here for him. I will help support him. We got Bill. I gotta actually know this. Just because we getting money together, and this go for any rapper that do business with me, just because we signed this week don't mean that, like, our lives, who I beef with becomes your beef. Like, you know, I got real kids in the house. I got a whole family tree I take care of. I would be pretending if I was out here acting like every artist I sign, his problems, his life problems, is my life problems. That's not the case. I do anything for real. I'm giving him opportunity to change his family life. The way the people were setting it up, the bloggers, it was lining something up, really, what I seen.
But your life don't change overnight when you sign a deal, though, right? Like, you ain't supposed to be able to just immediately go buy your mom a house,
yeah,
a car,
why are we even comparing jewelry to family members. Right. Like, what conversation is, like, what is the basis of this conversation? We got black people comparing stones and metal to their moms and shit like that. I'm not even getting the basis of the debate. He's saying I ain't buy no jewelry because I got to get my mom and them right before I buy jewelry. It's nothing. I think Blueface should respect that. I know he respect that. I know Wack respect that. I respect that. And Ro, he made me like him even more for even saying that. With him and Blueface having words, it helped. He a young new artist. Nobody don't know that kid at the time. And all it did was help. I'm like, man, make sure you handle that shit right, man. Don't turn your rap shit into you coming in this shit beefing. You said you from the streets. You went through a lot of shit. Get in the shit, get your money. Let them know how you feel, but don't just be creating no chaos and little bloggers, academics, y'all, this, that. Stop even pumping, because when y'all pumping it, in the middle of when it happened, you don't know Young Ro. You don't know if Blueface and them real gangbangers, murderers. You don't know if Young Ro and them real murderers. Why you posting this shit four times and trying to, like, gas? I understand that bloggers have a job to do, but don't blatantly post no shit or instigate nothing with any of my artists. I'm not the white owners. With us is Jay-Z at Roc Nation. It's Meek Mill at Dream Chase. We got a merged label. We not the white owners, so we handling a little different. I ain't beefing with my artists, but y'all ain't just going to blatantly take the kids and throw them away in the trash and make them crash, and I know how to stop that.
All right, when we come back, we got more with Meek Mill. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, a couple of days ago, Charlamagne flew out to the Bahamas to kick it with Meek Mill. They talked about a lot, but let's get into it.
What happened with Roddy Ricch? I thought he was supposed to sign with you.
Nothing ain't happened with Roddy Ricch. Me and Roddy Ricch got mega shit coming. I don't know. Like, me and Roddy wasn't seeing eye to eye. You know, they younger than me. I'm 32. You got to really think about it. So when I'm dealing with these young boys that's 22 and 21, I always treat them like we the same age because they grown men at the same time. Mm-hmm. We wasn't seeing eye to eye at a time. He knew I wasn't seeing eye to eye with him. I knew the same thing. He felt the same way. As an older guy, as a person who leading the way, I can't be beefing with no young that I just try to put on. We stand in the same house. We eating together every night. We just pulled up, busted up, done deal. It was our own personal thing. I need $500,000 right now. I know I could call Roddy to bring me
$500,000
if I was fucked up.
How does, growing up in the hood, you know, I guess shape your mental health?
I went back in my hood just with the new way I be thinking now. I really got around people. I was like, damn, there's a lot of crazy people. And not crazy, I mean, a lot of people that have mental health where we come from. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a coincidence that these people have, a large group of people having in these areas. I believe just going through the shit they going through. I'm talking about Friday the 13th. What's the most scariest movie America has ever seen? What movie is that? Like, what's the top movies?
I mean, I used to think all those movies were scary, but now seeing the shit we see on the internet, yeah, way scarier, real life.
I that for, like, judges and, like, DAs and shit like that. When you sentencing that kid that got locked up with a gun, taking into consideration that 100 people got murdered in this neighborhood in the last 100 days. He might be mentally sick, paranoid, post-traumatic stress, depressed, everything in one. So that's, take that into consideration. This is Friday the 13th in these areas.
How did it feel when you got free, man?
It ain't really kick it if it felt surreal. It felt kind of like surreal. It just, as days went by, probably 2 months went by, I woke up one day like, damn, that's why I'm doing shit like this. I couldn't do shit like this. Just get up and record my album in a studio in the Bahamas, or get up and just go to a different country. You might be overwhelmed. You see, like, celebrities and shit, these kids, they be on pills and getting high and shit like that. Sometimes this shit get overwhelming. Like, you might just want to get up and just go to another country and get away from all the negative shit I'm telling you that I come from for a week, because we got family and this shit, so we still got to make it back some way. But you might want to get away for a month. I couldn't do those things.
After being conditioned to have to call a PO all the time, still reach for your phone? Like, oh,
I got about my PO probably a week ago, and I'm like, I'm going to call her, because she was actually a good PO. You know, she a model probationer. She asked me that I have a problem when I was addicted to opioids. I said, yeah, she went and got me help.
When you talk about being addicted to opioids, and you see a lot of these young rappers dying because of opioid use,
yeah,
do you ever be like, I escaped the bullet with that shit?
Yeah, hell yeah. I be telling them, like, I'm damn near a preacher. I'm gonna have I be having to tell a young guy, yo, bro, that shit, you know, that shit really will kill you. Like, no, your decision making up, make you forget. Like, when I'm saying it to him, I want him to know, like, no, I'm telling you, because this happened to me at one point. I'm telling you, it happened to me, it happened to you if you say you look up to me. Sometimes people got to go through their own life experiences. Like, Juice, that shit was fucked up. It had to be that way. Like, you never want nobody's life experiences to be deaf or, like, some shit they can't come out of. But for the ones that's doing it that have a chance to change, you know, you might got to go through a life experience. Me, I had to go through my own life experience to not want to do that.
How much blame should rappers get for those young kids' drug use?
None. How much social media should get regular fans for bashing these little kids all day? On Instagram, these little... I be looking at a situation like Summer Walker. They say she like...
She deal with anxiety.
Yeah, she probably really dealing with anxiety.
Absolutely.
But nobody don't give a f***. They talking about how you ain't perform right, how you ain't do this right, how you ain't... They want you. They don't give a f*** if you get on pills and die for real, for real. They bashing. They ain't going to stop. If you could tell, she could tell people, yo, I'm depressed. I'm tired. Give me a break. But I got a show today. I got to do the show. If she don't perform right, then you think they going to give a f*** about her mental health? No, they don't give a f***. And I just been, that was like the last situation I've been watching from the outside because I've been through that. I've been through like... my Instagram, everybody, I got 5,000 L's. That was unbelievable to me. I didn't even think that was possible. But that was the case. Like, I was cool with Meek Dunn. He finished. Like, it was so many people talking bad about me at one time. I never even experienced that. But, you know, I come from the hood. People busting on your sneaks all day when they f***ed up. People busting on your mom. So I could withstand it. These younger kids, they coming up from different environments, getting on as celebrities and then get bashed all day. They gonna take some pills when they f***ing go to sleep. You got 5,000 people telling you you're a piece of shit today. Like, come on, blame the rappers. How you gonna blame the rappers? You gonna blame the fans? Huh?
That's why I can't blame the rappers. I think it's layers to it. I think people are born with a lot of these things already, the anxiety, the depression. And when they get on these drugs or they start self-medicating, it helps them find that escape they're looking for.
Yeah.
So I can't really just put it on the music, even though the music does glorify it and make that shit seem fly.
I was with a kid, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. These drugs helping these kids reach thoughts that they can't reach sober, and they falling in love with that. When they come into the booth, they can try to come in today. I'm sober. I smoke every night. You try to come into the booth and try to reach those deep thoughts and can't really connect because your mind ain't going that far. So they just be doing drugs and going places and saying things. You ever had them say, what made you think of that? It's dark, deep, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of artists be living in that. So, you know, I don't think nobody to blame for that shit, but the Percocet company to blame for that shit. Why can you buy this shit if it's killing us?
Did you have any scares when you was wilding on the surf and over?
I never disclosed. I tell them, I'm taking 10 30s Percocets a day. You walking with death.
God damn.
Yeah, real shit. Pop 2 in the morning. They gonna wear off by 4. Which was, yo, man, saying I'm saying too much over here. But my shit gonna be
He's telling the truth, though. He's telling the truth.
Huh?
Yeah, but kids can learn from this,
yeah,
though.
You need to know, though.
Don't let them stop you.
Because some of their favorite artists popping 20, 30s on a low, about to die, and nobody catering to what's going on. I had to
That's
cater
real.
To myself and be like, popping 10 perks. You a junkie. I ain't come up like that. So, you know. I had to make a decision with myself. You gonna be a high pill popper or you gonna be a millionaire bossed up type and they ain't mixed. I ain't never see a millionaire bossed up pill popper in my life.
What was the wake up call? Like, was it your team? Was it
myself, you? My decision making, all types of shit. I don't even wanna like keep making this decision cause they'll make this like a storyline. Yo, when I be going back and trying to figure out like why I really like, when I make decisions and I like make and I do shit, I know why I did it. If you ask me about like why I came at Drake, I don't even fucking really, really, really know. Like everybody be saying Nicki and shit. That wasn't the case. Like they always had their relationship before me and shit like that. So in my mind, I was somewhere they dealt with each other before I got in a situation. I can never like let that be the one reason why I'm mad at him. Like I'll feel some type of way. I just ain't really know when I look back. I'm like, you know what? I want to do something like that.
You was high. You was getting high.
I know. I'm just saying, though, like, certain niggas from my neighborhood would come at me. I'd be in the hood. Nigga, where you at? I'm making very bad decisions and not knowing I'm making these bad decisions. And when I wasn't high and I looked back and went on YouTube and checked my file,
I'm like, I don't do shit like that.
All right. Well, Charlamagne, that seemed like a great conversation with Meek.
It is, man. It's like an hour long. You can go check it out on my YouTube page, youtube.com/C2God, C-T-H-A-G-O-D. We about to release it on YouTube right now.
All right.
So, yeah, Meek, man, Meek's in a good headspace. It's always a beautiful thing when people find their purpose. You know what I mean? I can look at certain people. Like, I can look at you, Envy, and say, damn, Envy really found his purpose with that real estate thing.
I thought he was going to do a joke. I thought it was going to be a hair plug joke. I was waiting for it. You know when you know, if you don't know somebody real serious, go ahead.
I would never say that wig you got on your head is your purpose.
Oh,
all right?
Goodness.
And in fact, I can't even believe you're wearing that on purpose.
This is not a wig. I actually cut some of my curls off.
But what I'm saying is when I see that when you do the real estate thing, like, that's your purpose. Like, you really enjoy helping people. You really enjoy helping people build generational wealth.
Absolutely.
I really love mental health advocacy. That's something that I love to do. And, you know, Meek clearly has found his purpose with that reforms thing, man. And it's just like, yo, you're using your life experiences, right? You're using those things that you went through that possibly could have held you back to help others, man. So salute to what Meek is doing. I respect
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we got the People's Choice Mix. Shout out to Jamie Foxx. Today is his birthday, so let's get some Jamie Foxx on in the mix. Revolt, we'll see you guys next year, all right? Revolt, you guys are off. You got a vacation, so we'll see you next year. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Shout out to everybody again that's heading out to my last seminar of the year. I'm doing it at the Jacob Javits Center, huge venue. So get there early. That's all I can say. There's going to be a lot of information. I'm bringing everybody to you this Sunday. So if you want to learn about real estate, I'm bringing credit repair. I'm bringing hard money lending, conventional lending, contractors, property managers, attorneys. And shout out to one of my real estate attorneys, Sabine. Sabine, thank you so much for everything that you're doing with my properties. I really, really appreciate it. Of course, Caesar will be there. Fernando will be there. Auction.com. We have so many people. So if you want to learn about real estate, this is the time to do it. Everybody will be in front of you. There are no upcharges. It's not like any of these other seminars where they charge you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It does not work like that. There is no charge once you get in that building. Nothing. You come there, you learn, and we will be there, and you can get all the information. You can ask what you want to ask. We're there to help. I want to see more people that look like me buying properties, buying investments, buying their own communities back. I want to see more of that. So hopefully I will see you on Sunday. All right. Now, Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
Now, you flew out to Bahamas to kick it with Meek?
Yeah, I was with Meek Mill on Wednesday, man. So that's up on YouTube right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be all over the internet in a minute. But yeah, man, I just like the fact that people find their purpose, man. And I think that when you begin to think with purpose, like, you just enter the ranks of, like, very strong people who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment. Like I said earlier, I know that you found your purpose with this real estate thing.
Yes, sir.
I found my purpose with, you know, mental health advocacy. Somebody like Meek has found his purpose with, you know, helping
prison
people
reform.
With prison reform. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's very dope, man. When you start seeing brothers walking in their purpose, oh, man, we unstoppable, baby. That's like the starting point of all achievement, finding out what your purpose is, man. So I hope that everybody out there eventually finds this.
Absolutely. Well,
I want to tell everybody, man, if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, there's an open casting call in Newark, New Jersey today and tomorrow for the new miniseries based on Uptown Records. All right. They're looking for people to play Heavy D, Mary J. Blige, LL Cool J, Jodeci, Aaron Hall of Guy. If you think that you can portray any of the 90s versions of these superstars and you can act, sing, and rap, then they want to see you. It's the BET Uptown casting call today and tomorrow in Newark, New Jersey. It's at Symphony Hall in Newark, New Jersey, okay? So everybody pull up from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., all right? BET open casting call for the Uptown Records movie.
When we come back, positive note, Breakfast Club, good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. You got a positive note, Charlamagne?
Yes, man. The positive note is simply this, man. For everybody out there trying to find their purpose, please remember that the soul, which has no fixed purpose in life, is lost. To be everywhere is to be nowhere. Find your purpose, goddammit.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.